It is a good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Thanks for jumping on board. Today's show, Peter King on a Tuesday. NFL Insider with us exclusively. SI.com, MMQB, when I say exclusively through Arizona. Our NFL Insider, SI.com's Peter King. He joins us every Tuesday. We'll talk about the Cardinals' upcoming matchup with the Chicago Bears on Sunday. Start looking ahead there. The Andre Ellington injury. And some of Peter's thoughts around the NFC West over the week that just finished up. Peter King will be with us. A.J. Green is going to be with us today, the star wide receiver of the Cincinnati Bengals. He is part of Team Rockin' Refuel. A.J. Green, great guest, will be with us today. And Bob Davey, the head football coach at New Mexico, will jump on board. The Lobos getting ready to come to Tempe to take on Arizona State on Friday night. We'll have Bob Davey with us. So big jam-packed show. A lot going on in my mind of the world of sports. Let's jump on board. It's things that are happening today in the middle of your Tuesday. And I want to start with the Cardinals and the Ellington injury, but I just can't. This morning, I heard about 7:15, and I was driving, and you don't text and drive. And I was going to text Eric because we've talked about Steve Patterson getting blown out for months now. And today, the former Arizona State Sun Devil athletic director got blown out of Texas. And there are huge ramifications from this story, in my opinion, here in Arizona. And to start with, I think both of the athletic directors that are here, now there'll be guys that'll say, oh, wait, no way, not happening. And I will just say, you don't know, and it doesn't matter what they have in the way of annuities. It doesn't matter what they have in the way of buyouts. This is Texas. The same Texas that has its shoe contract opening up with Nike in 2 weeks. So you tell me how much money is going to be sitting there on the table from Under Armour and Nike, and there's any buyout can be done. When it's Texas that comes open, this is one of those jobs that everybody better be looking at their coach and better be looking at their athletic director, because this just isn't something you dismiss and say, oh, no, no, our guy's fine. Our guy would never consider leaving. He's all tied in. No, I don't buy that for a minute, especially here in Arizona. Greg Byrne has done a terrific job at the U of A. If you look at the lineage and the history with his father and connections, it's really not that hard to put together. Eric, am I overreaching on that one? Greg Byrne?
No. He's ready for the big time if that's what he wants.
Okay. Ray Anderson has come here and has done a phenomenal job at Arizona State. I sat in the stadium the other night. It's still a dump, but he's finally the guy that's trying to turn it in the right direction. I mean, I got guys that are wide, cramming up bleacher seats at the 50-yard line, metal bleachers that have been there forever, with cement that smells like beer-stained cement. And, you know, they're the guys that say, well, this is how it was in the 70s, and that doesn't work. And Ray has come in here and tried to change the culture. I think Ray has been phenomenal. And given his background, and let's be honest, University of Texas athletic director, it's what Arizona State aspires to be. I think they're close in certain areas. Football's not quite where Texas has been. It's not quite where Texas is financially, obviously. Basketball program here is bottomed out. Bobby Hurley's now on board, but they need a new facility. Baseball program here is terrific. So is Texas. I think Ray has made some amazing hires throughout his athletic department. But if you're the University of Texas and you're going to start looking around at people, you should look at this state and strongly look at both the guy at the U of A and the guy at Arizona State. I think there are names like Mack Brown that make a lot of sense to me in that he is forever linked to Texas and football and great times. I think he's stuck around too long as a coach, and that's why they're in the mess they're in now. I sent you a text about your guy, Chris Del Conte, over at TCU.
Chris Del Conte is a very, very, very good, shrewd businessman who knows how to raise a lot of money and is a real go-getter. But I've been hearing that he probably
Get out of here.
Will not take that job.
You're a TCU honk.
Nope.
Of course, your guy's
nope.
On frogsboard.com or whatever it is.
Well, he could have.
GoFrogs.com? What is it?
He kicked the tires on that job before they hired Steve Patterson, and He said, thanks, but no thanks. he's got, again, it's one of those things where he's got a good situation. He's at a private school. He's got the brand new football stadium. Texas is somewhat fool's gold, I think, Brad.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if I agree with you on that.
It's like Texas is like marrying a high maintenance woman. I mean, it's
great. We've both done that.
It's great to be seen with.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of layers and a lot of things that you have to deal with when you're at the top end at the University of Texas.
You're speaking from experience on the high maintenance woman, I think.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying. No, that's
I
just,
am, but
that's
just how, it's fine.
That's just how that job is perceived. They print money at Texas. They have their own TV network. That's all well and good. But there are a lot of internal issues. I would disagree with saying the baseball program's in great shape. When was the last time Texas made the College World Series?
It's a great program,
though. I would disagree that UT football is in great shape. Did you watch the bowl game last year against Arkansas?
It's a great program with history and tradition.
Of course, it is. But what is it right now?
Right now, it's bottomed out, but it's not in bad shape.
Is the Texas basketball team really good?
None of those programs are the worst of the worst.
No. There's potential.
They've all done it, and they just haven't had the right people to get them back there. They stuck with Mack Brown too long. Tom Pender stuck around too long. You know, that I look at programs and see what they've done. Okay, has Arizona State had great baseball tradition? Sure they have. But in recent years, it hasn't been where people want it to be. But I still think it's a very good baseball program. Texas is the same way.
But recruits want, what have you done for me lately? There's a reason why all these high school kids in Texas are going to A&M, Baylor, TCU. There's a reason.
Yeah,
Texas was great back when Vince Young played, but that suddenly is becoming not a long time ago.
No, it is a long time ago. It's 10 years.
It's been a while.
So 8 years.
It's been a while.
Yeah. No, but it's still a premier job.
No doubt.
Like, should
no
Greg
doubt.
Byrne put a for sale sign in his front yard if Texas calls? And the answer
Three
is
hours
yes.
ago, yes.
If Ray Anderson gets a phone call from Texas, and here's how this works. Somebody is going to ask them, do you have any interest in the Texas job? And they'll say, no, I don't have any interest in the Texas job. What that means, for the code for that is, my agent has all the interest, so I don't. So if you say, has your representative or your agent been in contact or has been contacted by an alum, a third party, or a search firm? When you ask the question, so have you heard from the University of Texas? Well, no, I haven't. That's not a lie. But, you know, that's how they get through these things. Every athletic director in the country who aspires for greatness has to look at this opening today. So now let's look at football. Has Charlie Strong come in and done a great job at Texas? You know, the program bottomed out under Mack Brown. I think we remember a couple of years ago when they were playing, BYU? And BYU just crushed them unmercifully and ran them into the ground and made them look foolish. And ever since then, in my view, Texas has just kind of sort of been there.
It's too early to tell, though, because he had to come in and clean out all the bad apples that Mack Brown let run the asylum.
Or guys that couldn't play.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm willing to give Charlie Strong a little bit of a break because what is this, his second year or so?
But
let's let that situation play itself out.
Okay, but whoever the new athletic director that comes in will have to look at all of his coaches. Shaka Smart just came there for basketball. I only care, this conversation's about football, because I think both Rich Rodriguez and Todd Graham, if the University of Texas football job came open, and on a day where the athletic director is blown out, you have to look at, okay, who is the replacement? I happen to agree with you. It's too early, but you never know. AD can come in and have a completely different set of principles. And does it have to be a business athletic director? So like let's look at Wisconsin. Barry Alvarez is a former football coach. Okay. Pat Hayden at USC is a former football coach. You know, I heard Oliver Luck's name this morning as a potential guy there. Do you have to have a CEO? Remember when Mike Bellotti ran Oregon? Or can you have a former football coach like Mack Brown come in there? I think that the job there today is fascinating, and especially with the angles that are here in Arizona. You cannot tell me that Greg and Ray are just sitting there saying, who would ever have an interest in that? I'm not saying they're going to go after it, but somebody in some search firm somewhere is going to put together a list. And if you look at what both those guys have done, it's been pretty darn impressive. right over on the Cardinals end. We'll talk with Peter King here in a few minutes, but Andre Ellington, grade one PCL strain of the right knee. So he'll miss this week, maybe next week. I'm fine with this. They have the Bears this Sunday, and the Bears played better under John Fox. They ran the football well with Matt Forte. The Cardinals are in a space where I think you go to this game and you win it. Now, let's go to the Monday night games last night. 49ers look great, other than their uniforms blue. I mean, those things were... Did you like those? Did you check those?
No. Let Oakland wear black.
Those were horrid.
Let the Raiders be the team that wears black.
Like, I'm watching the end of the Falcons-Eagles game, and they're teasing the 49ers. That first shot of Colin Kaepernick, it's like, what are those?
And the Niners have such a nice, classic, clean look.
Yeah.
They don't need to get gimmicky. Black jerseys, let the other teams.
Everybody's got black jerseys. Black
but the Cardinals wear black from time to time, and they're cool.
No, I get it.
Just wasn't cool last night with the Niners.
Man, they just punished Minnesota. All right, Peter King is next. We'll take a break. Peter King on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. Peter King, the MMQB, joins us now. Brad Sussmat, as we go through the Cardinals being 1-0, they have the Bears this coming Sunday morning. What did you make out of the Cardinals' performance Sunday, Peter, against New Orleans?
Well, I mean, at the risk of being cliche, I think it's a great illustration of what everybody talks about with this team, with this franchise right now, that, they really got to keep Carson Palmer upright. And I think one of the things that this game also showed is that if you're going to, if you're going to be a serious contender late in the year, you're going to have to take the best shots of good offensive teams coming in, even when you're sort of a work in progress on defense. And to me, when Drew Brees comes into your place and you can hold the New Orleans Saints into one touchdown in four quarters, I think it says a lot about the acceptance level of James Betcher and the progress that the defense is making.
All right, so turn the page now, looking ahead to the Chicago Bears. Are the Bears better under John Fox? What are the Cardinals running into this Sunday?
I think the Bears are better, Brad, but I'm not at all sold on them, as being close to being contenders or anything. I think one of the things, I know in training camp, one of the things that the Bears wanted to do was, John Fox, he was in a weird situation in Denver when you're able to get Peyton Manning, you go get Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm.
But John Fox would really prefer to play, more of a game where you're running the ball a lot more than you're throwing it. Or not maybe a lot more, but you're going to have at least a 50-50 split. And, in the first game of the year, you can see that, it was almost 50-50, whatever it was. They ran the ball, 33, 35 times or something like that. Matt Forte had a great game running the ball. He was one of the best players in week one in the league. And I think that's really what Arizona is going to face this week. You're going to get a very, very heavy dose of Matt Forte, and I think they're going to try to win games rather than trying to force it with Jay Cutler, who, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. He's going to make a lot of mistakes if you put the ball in his hands 40 or 45 times in a game. So I think you're going to see John Fox move more and more toward at least a 50-50 split run pass.
Peter King, the MMQB, with us. The Bears had a shot at Bruce Arians. They said, no, we're going to pass on you to take Mark Trestman. And I've always felt, Peter, and you may know this more intimately than I do, given your relationship with Bruce, that he's always had kind of a burr up his backside towards the Bears for passing on him. He's now 22-11 out here in Arizona.
No question about it. I think that, for some, Bruce is one of those guys I've always found he's kind of like a player. He used to be a player, as many coaches are, but he's got this thing in him that every game against the Pittsburgh Steelers that he ever coaches against the Steelers, that will always be a game he really wants to win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't think he should have gotten dismissed from the Steelers. Every game against the Chicago Bears will always be a little bit special. He thought that he had a really good chance at that job. So it's just natural. I mean, any person, even not in sports, I mean, if you go out for a job interview and you don't get the job and somebody else gets the job, you're always going to look at that guy and you're going to say, hey, I'm better than that guy. And clearly now Arians can look at this and say, I'll tell you what, I wish I had a chance to get my hands on Jay Cutler to see what I could do with him. It'd be no nonsense, as you know, with Bruce. There wouldn't be any of this. You know, and again, I really like Mark Trestman, but there wouldn't be any of this Mark Trestman intelligentsia. You know, you know, this laid back, hey, here's what we're going to do. It would be an in-your-face, tough love kind of thing, because that's really what, that's obviously the way Bruce coaches.
One other thought on the Cardinals. Ellington goes down 1 to 3 weeks. We'll see on the PCL. Chris Johnson being given the opportunity now, I actually liked what I saw of him, and we saw the David Johnson touchdown call, which was brilliant by Bruce. The injury bug hitting Ellington, what do you make of that?
You know, I think what I make of it is, you know, the Cardinals were proactive in both the offseason and in, you know, obviously in training camp with how they addressed their running back position. I mean, clearly, you want to go out. I mean, when you spend a third-round pick on a back, I think, wasn't David Johnson a third-round pick?
Yep.
You go and spend a third-round pick on David Johnson, and then you go out not satisfied, and you still feel like, you know, you want to do something with the running back position. You go get Chris Johnson and you know, and you want to see what he has left. So clearly they buttress the position. It reminds me somewhat in a different way of what Philadelphia did in the offseason with the running game, because clearly even though that you know, they went out and got DeMarco Murray, you know, it was still Chip Kelly always made the point that, look, I want to get Ryan Matthews, too, because, you know, I know that you got to have insurance of that position. We got a great third down back in Darren Sproles, but we want to have some backstopping at this position. So that's sort of what I see in what Arizona did. They got a lot of insurance because they're not sure that Ellington is going to be, you know, a 16-game guy anyway.
Peter King, the MMQB with Brad Sussmat for a couple of minutes. Okay, the Rams hit on 8 plays of 20 yards or more against Seattle. There's no Cam Chancellor there. What'd you make out of the Seahawks' performance within the NFC West?
I think the most interesting thing in that game by far is that, you know, there was not I didn't think St. Louis was able, I mean, because St. Louis did not watch a lot of the game. St. Louis wasn't able to run the ball that well. The thing they were able to do, when you said it, they were able to make big plays. And this is a defense that has made its mark in leading the NFL 3 years in a row with the ability to make big plays on defense. And I'd just make this point that, you know, everything that happened in that game can't be pointed to either Super Bowl hangover or the holdout of Cam Chancellor. But you'd be stupid to look at that team and say that that there weren't some disturbing signs.
Right.
I mean, look, allowing the St. Louis Rams to score 34 points. And I mean, look, it's not that the Rams consistently went up and down the field on them, but let's call a spade here. You know, it's a great metaphor for this game that in essence was lost when the substitute for Cam Chancellor fell down and couldn't keep his footing on the touchdown pass that tied the game near the end of regulation. And so, look, I mean, you know, to allow the St. Louis Rams to go 80 yards on a drive in the first half and to go 89 yards on a drive in the second half, that is something that you don't see the Seattle Seahawks do. That would bother me quite a bit.
Before I let you go, 49ers blitzed and blitzed and blitzed last night. Jim Tom Sula came after Teddy Bridgewater. San Francisco, were they the surprise team to you of the weekend, Peter?
Yeah, I think what you learned from that game last night is that Trent Baalke has made an awful lot of good personnel decisions. You know, you look at how good Carlos Hyde was. I mean, mm-hmm. I could make the argument that Carlos Hyde and Matt Forte were the two best running backs in football on the first weekend of the season. And, you know, we can throw a bunch of other guys in there, but they were both really, really good in week one. And so Carlos Hyde was never going to get his chance unless they let Frank Gore go. And so Frank Gore is gone. An awful lot of guys are gone, as you know. And it seemed to me last night watching that game, and I don't know how you saw it, but to me, Navarro Bowman made up for so many of the losses. He just was a force of nature in that game last night. And I think it's a classic example of, you know, if you've still got some good guys on your roster, and Glenn Dorsey's good,
yep.
Tremaine Brock is good, Navarro Bowman is great. I still think, and you know, Aaron Lynch, very, very underrated, you know, outside the tackles rush guy. I think they're going to have enough to be a pretty good team. How good? I still think their passing game is going to have to come through, and last night their passing game was at best mediocre.
Peter, appreciate the visit as always. Thanks.
All the best, Brad. Thank you.
Peter King with us. Always good to catch up with Peter King. Brad Sesmatz, Football AZ continues after this timeout. Welcome back. So the people over at Team Rock and Refuel called me and they said, AJ Green is going to be our spokesperson. And I said, well, whenever you can get him on a phone, get him to me. Turns out he signs this mammoth contract last Friday. And then Sunday, the Bengals go up and kick the Raiders all over the field. And so on a Tuesday, it's cool to have AJ Green from Team Rock and Refuel and the Cincinnati Bengals, in that order, I might add. He joins us for a couple of minutes with Brad Sesmatz. How are you, AJ?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great out here in Arizona. Let's start right off the top. Team Rock and Refuel, you sign a big contract with the Bengals. How did this? How did Rock and Refuel help you get to where you are today?
I think with me, Rock and Refuel, I was drinking it before I even got the deal. That's the crazy thing about it. My wife and I were drinking it before, and then when we got the call, Mark called me and said, you want to have a deal with Rock and Refuel? We were like, oh, yes, of course, because we love that drink because it's so high in protein, which I need for my muscles to recover to the full effect that I need to go out there and play at a high level on Sunday. And it tastes great. And that's the biggest thing. It's made with real milk, which is fresh, and it don't have an aftertaste, and it sits well with my stomach. It don't have all that loaded carbs like a lot of these protein drinks have and make you feel like full, and you really can't eat after you drink it. So I think the biggest thing for me, I can drink it while I'm eating a real meal and still feel fine.
And then get out on the field and perform, which you've
right.
done so well. I mean, tell me about how it worked last week when you put all the dots together. And I saw part of your press conference where you said you called your family about this and
right.
and just the emotion of putting this whole deal together.
Oh, yeah. You know, last week was a great week just to get that contract situation out the way. And, you know, it's great for me and great for my family. But now I can just focus on football and getting better each week without that, you know, in the back of my mind.
AJ Green, Team Rock and Refuel, Cincinnati Bengals star wide receiver, with us for a couple of minutes. We're out here in Arizona. We see a very good wide receiver in Larry Fitzgerald. Who do you model yourself after, AJ, and that's gotten you to this point in your career?
I think it's a lot of those guys, Larry, Andre Johnson, Calvin, you know, those guys who's been doing it for a long time at a high level and maintaining that high level of play. And the biggest thing to being great is consistency. And that's what I got to do. I got to keep getting better and keep delivering on a consistent basis. And I'm basic. And I'll be fine. And I think that's the biggest thing. I just keep getting better each week.
What do you get from Fitz? You know, when you say a guy like Fitz, what do you take from his game?
Larry's the, a great role model on and off the field because he does everything right on and off the field. His hands, his route running, just the way he approached game. He's not a diva, but he's a superstar in the field. And I think that's where I definitely take notes of him. Me and Larry's a friend. I talked to him yesterday. So that's the biggest thing, just taking the little keys off the field for him, the way he carries himself and on and off the field.
You're no diva either, it looks like, from a distance.
Right.
Right? I mean, that's not your deal.
I'm definitely not a diva.
So there's a Arizona State player back there that I wanted to follow up with you. How's Vontaze Burfict coming along for the Bengals?
Vontaze, I think he could be ready. Once he gets ready, they clear him to be healthy. But I think he's going to be fine. We can't wait to have him back. These last 2 years, 2 years ago, when he's probably one of the best linebackers in this league. So can't wait to have him back. Because he adds a different, dimension to our game. He's so nasty. He plays the game with so much passion, which we need on our defense.
All right, before I let you go, Team Rock and Refuel, A.J. Green, just tell me about this marriage, this partnership.
This partnership is great because it's not like other protein drinks, like I was telling you. It tastes great, and it has all the key opponents that I need to actually recover to be able to go out there and play at a high level on Sundays. And like I said, the biggest thing for me is it tastes great, and it has no aftertaste, and it's good, man. You should try it.
I do.
Oh, you're based in Phoenix, so you can get it out of anywhere out there, so it's easy to get out there in Phoenix.
Thanks, AJ, for the visit. Best of luck this season.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me.
Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. I'm Brad Sussmat. So we'll start looking ahead to the ASU game Friday night. They're playing Friday this week at home against New Mexico. Bob Davey, the coach of the Lobos. The guy that replaced Lou Holtz, you don't want to be that guy. And Bob Davey was that guy, but great guy nonetheless. And the head coach of the New Mexico Lobos, they play Friday night over at the stadium. So the Pac-12 network deal, some of you were asking about this last Friday in email form, about how close was the Pac-12 to getting a deal done with AT&T because you want to start seeing the ASU games. Eric and I have joked forever that I'm one of the five that sees them. Eric does not have it. A lot of sports bars do not have it. Some do. But here's the dollar side of it. I think if you guys are into business at all, you'll see that DirecTV never thought that the Pac-12 network was worth what others were paying. And that's interesting on its own front. DirecTV said, there's not a chance we're going to do this deal. There was never enough pressure from DirecTV to change its stance. Pac-12 would have had to drop its sub fee by 20 or 30 cents. Sub fee is like for each one of you. They'd have said, we're going to have to drop this 20 or 30 cents. So if you do the math, there's 12 million people that could have subscribed at 80 cents per subscription for the Pac-12 network for 12 months. That's $115 million. If you think about the math. But it came back that the DirecTV ATT people wanted to drop the number to 60 cents per subscription, which means you'd end up losing $31 million on the deal. And so the Pac-12 said, we're still not ready yet. I know many of you are frustrated, but the dollars and cents side of it, and this may be the legacy of Larry Scott, that he just could never get this television network done. A day where Steve Patterson's been blown out at Texas. I know there's been some pressure mounting on Larry Scott to get this deal done. I happen to like Larry. We have him on the show often, and the Pac-12 treats us great because we're one of the few that pays attention year-round to the conference. But they're just not there yet. They're just not there. Bob Davies on the other side, head coach New Mexico Lobos. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Welcome back. Time to talk New Mexico Lobo football as we look towards Friday night's matchup, Arizona State and the Lobos. Bob Davey, the head football coach of New Mexico, joins us for a couple of minutes, ASU and New Mexico. How are you, coach?
Brad, I'm doing good. I'm doing great. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you as well. 1-1, what are we to expect from New Mexico that comes to town on Friday night?
You know, I think it's so early in the season that, you know, Todd Graham would probably say the same thing. You know, you're not exactly sure what you're going to get. But I think when you look at us, it's obviously, you know, we're a triple option style team. You know, we're a lot different than Cal Poly. You know, Cal Poly was under center, true double slot, kind of the Navy Georgia Tech, true triple option. You know, we do it out of the pistol, meaning the quarterback's in the shotgun, the back's deep behind him, and then we give you a lot of formations, more one-back type sets. But we're a triple-option style team. You know, we've got some talented players on offense. We have some speed. You know, we've struggled defensively here as we build this program. So it's a team that I think's pretty fun to watch. You know, it'll be... there'll be some speed on that field on both sides, and obviously we have our work cut out for us coming into Tempe.
It's an important game, I know, on the field, but also you come into Arizona and look at a lot of the high schools here too. So talk about that aspect for your program to be here this Friday night.
Well, you know what? Everybody comes into Phoenix now. You know, high school football in Arizona has developed and improved so much that, you know, it used to be a little bit, as you know, Brad, under the radar somewhat, yep. Arizona high school football. It's turned into, you know, some place that every school in the country is going to target and evaluate players. You know, more than just what it does for recruiting, you know, it's so early in the season that we think we have a chance to be a pretty good football team. You know, this will be a big test for us and something. I'll tell you this, our players are really looking forward to coming over there and playing. You know, even though we're coming off a loss and it is a Friday night game, you know, right. It's been a bit of a grind. But, you know, we're anxious to just come play in a big-time stadium and, you know, compare ourselves to the Sun Devils.
I'm sure you saw the success that Cal Poly did have with the triple option. That's been brought up time and time again here this week. Can ASU slow you down?
Well, they're going to slow us down. I mean, that's not even an issue. You know, we played last year, as you know. We did have some success running the ball. You know, in fact, we had one 80-yard touchdown call mm-hmm. back that our young quarterback had in the third or fourth quarter there. You know, we'll make some plays. The problem is they're such a turnover-creating kind of defense. You know, they attack you. And one thing I really respect about Todd Graham, he has an identity on defense, and he's going to figure out a way to attack any style of offense he plays. And our offense isn't the easiest style, nor was Cal Poly's the easiest style to just attack, but he figures out a way to do it. So for us, it's minimizing, you know, the negative plays and just the disasters, you know, of pitching the ball on the ground or, you know, the quarterback pitching the ball and the ball flies up in the air. So, you know what? You look at Cal Poly, we're different. You know, we're a lot different than Cal Poly. You know, they handed the ball to the fullback up in there a lot. You know, Arizona State being a hard-charging defensive front, you know, the fullback got on them pretty quick. You know, our dive back doesn't get there nearly as quick. So there's some trade-offs with everything. But, you know, we're pretty confident in our offense. We think we've got a good package. We do have a bit of experience at the quarterback position now. So, you know, again, it's going to be fun to see.
Flip it around. We're talking with Bob Davey, head football coach, New Mexico Lobos, Friday night against Arizona State at Sun Devil Stadium. Flip it around, coach, in terms of Mike Bercovici, DJ Foster, what you see offensively out of ASU for your defense.
You know, first of all, it's the scheme. You know, they have the ability to go tempo. I know they're talking about going faster tempo. And that always stresses you as a defense. And then you obviously look at the skill position players. You know, Bercovici's waited a long time to play. I like how he plays. You know, he plays with a lot of energy. You can tell it's really important to him. And just a real quick release. You know, as good a quick release as any quarterback in college football. And then you mentioned DJ Foster. You know, they're talking about getting him 20 to 25 touches. You know, obviously he's an elite kind of player. And then they surround him with a lot of speed and a big offensive line, and the tight ends are good. So they are a very talented team. And you know, obviously it's got our attention that Todd Graham said this is by far the most talented team he's had at ASU. So they're an explosion waiting to happen. And, you know, we come in with our eyes wide open, put it that way.
Appreciate the visit, Coach. Thanks.
Brad, thank you.
Bob Davey, head football coach, New Mexico Lobos, with us for a couple of minutes.